About 25 years ago, I was going through a pretty tough patch in my life. My dad died, I lost a child, and things weren't going too well for me at work. But I did have a wonderful little baby girl. Her name, Natalie Ann. And when I'd open the door, I would shout out, "Natalie Ann! Natalie Ann!" I'd hear these little baby feet just running and running and running. And I'd chase her all over the house, going different places, so we didn't quite see each other. Then usually in some closet or something, I would catch up to her, and I'd just say, "Natalie Ann," and I'd just give her a big hug. And you know, all those demons that I faced just disappeared. So what Natalie Ann taught me was happiness. And when I have a tougher than usual week like this week, I have like a nervous tick. And I'll just say, when all these things are going in my mind, "Natalie Ann," and they all just go away. Well, Jesus was doing something similar with his apostles. He planted in them a happy thought, a child. And so what the apostles were doing is a problem we have with the church today. It's called clericalism. It's kind of like when a bishop or a priest or a deacon says, "I'm greater than you and I'm entitled to special things." We know that that gets us into trouble. It touches hell. But when you welcome a child, into the world, like I was able to do for Natalie Ann, that touches heaven. And everything else just kind of melts away. Well, there is an irony to the child, at least in the little t tradition, that Jesus welcomed. So this little t with tradition says the name of this child was St. Ignatius of Antioch. And what St. Ignatius of Antioch did, he put the order in holy orders. He kind of said, this is what a bishop does, this is what a priest does, this is what a deacon does, this is how they relate to each other, this is how they relate to the people of God. It fell to that generation to really set up kind of the nuts and bolts of the church. And so within a family, within a children, you know, grandparent, parent, child, there's like this continuity of life. So I know, hey, I worked hard. I'm dependent on, you know, the stocks and investments I had and Social Security. You know, I get that. But those are only electrons or pieces of paper. In themselves, they have no value. The value is of a stock. It's the people that work there. It's the stuff that they do. And the better ability you have to teach those folks and provide resources for those kids to do the best that they can is very pragmatic. And so part of that little t in tradition, there is an irony of how he was being pragmatic. If we look in the letter of James, in this chapter right before we took out today's epistle, it means a little bit more. And so, selfishness and pride, they make happiness impossible. But the before explains where that comes from. Selfishness and pride come from poor teaching. They come from poor example. And so what James was saying is, very few people can teach, should teach, because it's so hard to do. But I think all of us know that parents teach. Parents are the first and primary teachers of their children until they're teenagers and know everything anyway. But parents and kindergarten teachers disarm selfishness. So quite a few years ago, there was a book that I read, All I Really Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. And these are the rules for kindergarten. I think they may be familiar to you, but you know, I think in our day-to-day lives, we'd like to see these rules posted somewhere. Rule 1, share everything. Rule 2, play fair. Rule 3, don't hit people. Rule 4, put things back where you found them. Rule 5, clean up your own mess. I think a lot of us hope that the church figures out how to do that. Rule 6, don't take things that aren't yours. Rule 7, say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Teachers, parents, they're the ones that are disarming selfishness right from the start. Our first reading was from the Book of Wisdom. And to read this in its entirety is beautiful. So what's going on right now is there's, in the book, there was some friction between the hedonist, those that believe that there only is a tomorrow, they only should live for tomorrow, you don't have to worry about, they only live for today, you know, they only do things for today, they don't believe that there's a tomorrow, and for those that had this vision of heaven. And where we get that continuity, that vision of heaven, is by knowing and living the past, living, of course, in the present, and living for tomorrow. And where does that happen? That happens in the context of the family, from grandparent to parent to child, that just continues and prepares us for heaven. Well, I know a lot of you would say, boy, that's a great story about Natalie Ann, but you know, I really haven't had a Natalie Ann in my life. Or, you know, I don't really have a home the way it talked about. I live in an apartment, or my kids have grown up and gone away. Well, then what I have to say for you is you're very Christ-like. In Christ's public life, he said it, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He was on the road continuously for 3 years. And his children, who he taught, were the same apostles here that he gave this beautiful life lessons for. That's his children. All of us are family in the church. And all of us are truly homeless. What we're doing is we're working our way back to our home in heaven. Well, like I mentioned, it's been a pretty tough week for me, just a normal toughness. Don't worry about me. And so I think all of you understand on weeks like that, you can't do the best, but you do the best that you can do. And so our canter, Rebecca, is going to help me out with her ukulele, and we're going to sing a song about teaching from Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Your elders grew by, and so
speak the truth before they can die. Teach your parents well, their children how they'll slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one that picks, the one you'll know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you, you would cry. So just look at them and sigh.